your heart, and is he the king of your life? Is he seated on the throne of your heart? Is he everything to you? Turn in your Bibles tonight into Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6. How many got to go home today and listen to what I asked you to listen to? Wasn't that awesome? I would have loved to have been in the meeting when that preacher preached that message. Man, what a message. That's my king. I'll tell you what, that is some kind of good. That's my king. Get a chance to listen to it. It just makes the hair stand up on the back of my neck listening to everything that he is and everything that he's so much better than. They can't even describe it. They can't even come up with words to just begin to convey the awesomeness of Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. We preached this morning about Caleb and his desire to have what God had promised. He said, give me that mountain. God promised it to me. It was a great message, I just felt God dealing with hearts. It wasn't a great message because I preached it. It was a great message because it was God's word. Amen. And I tell you this morning, I believe God was dealing with some hearts that were needing to come but didn't. But just pray that God would use that word this morning to draw some closer to him. But we was preaching on living on the potential that we have with faith. We live in the potential of faith. You know, everything that we stand on in faith is the potential for what God is about to do. Amen. You know, we live in the potential of faith that Christ is coming back. One day he's going to do it. We live in the potential of faith that when we pray in faith believing, he's going to answer our prayers. And we wait and we anticipate. And sometimes we confuse with the answer to prayer delayed with prayer being denied. That doesn't mean he's denied your prayers. It just means he's going to do it in his time. Amen. And we get wrapped up, but we forget what we have. We forget what potential we have when we dwell in faith. And tonight, I want to preach to you a very familiar verse. I'm going to preach one verse and three keys that this verse holds to living by faith. And that's in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33. The Bible says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, tonight as we bow our heads, we come humbly before your throne, Lord, realizing, God, that we're nothing and we deserve nothing. But Father, we want to hear from your word tonight, those things, God, that help us to be what you want us to be, that draw us to the place where you want us to come. Now, Lord, help us tonight as we look to your word, just to draw us and just to help us to see what we need, God, to be where you want us to be, doing what you want us to do in the way that you want us to do it, Lord. Help us, God, to live in that potential of faith like Caleb did, anticipating the promises that you've made and looking forward to what you're going to do. We know you say where two or three are gathered in your name, you'd be in our midst. And Father, we're thankful tonight, God, that not only have we brought you with us, but Father, that you have fellowship with us in spirit. And Lord, you knit and bond our hearts and lives together. And God, we pray tonight that in a very special way you would move amongst us, God, and just help us, Lord, to be encouraged and uplifted and motivated to do all those things, God, that you'd have us to do in your will and according to your way. Now, Lord, be with us in all that we do and all that we say. Help me, God, just to be humble before you, to be a vessel, Lord, that's used to your glory tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. I say amen. Jesus is speaking here now. This is Jesus that's given us the keys to living by faith. He's telling the folks here, he's still in the Sermon on the Mount. He's still and where all the Beatitudes and all that have taken place, he hasn't completed and hasn't finished that message yet and that sermon yet as he's speaking to the people. And he's telling them that they don't need to be worried and concerned about the temporal things of the world. And he says, consider the birds, consider the wildlife, consider nature itself and how God just takes care of nature. And God sees all things through. And he says, we're much better than all these things. And he tells them, he said, you know, we just need to learn to get our priorities right and to set things in order and to do what we need to do to honor God. And if we do that, all the rest of it will take care of itself. Amen. It's just like money. You know, people have a hard time managing money. But a fellow told me a long time ago, if you watch the pennies, the dollars will take care of themselves. Amen. If you learn to be mindful of what you have, amen, the rest of it takes care of itself. We've been blessed and God has blessed us. We started out with nothing. Amen. So one fellow said, started out with nothing, still got most of it. Amen. But the Lord has blessed us. We didn't have anything, but we learned to watch the pennies. And God took what we had and he's multiplied it and he's growed it and he's helped it to flourish and he's helped us to be blessed and we're so thankful for that. When we got married, when she married me, all she got was me. I didn't have anything else. I had literally had the clothes on my back and an old beat up car. Well, I give that to my brother, didn't I? Amen. And so he would have an old beat up car to get to work. Uncle Sugar done had me and I didn't have no need for that car for a while and he needed to get back and forth to work. So I give him that old car. She had an old car. And she had the clothes on her back, and we started out. My mama was a widow living on a pension. Her mama was a widow living on a pension. My mom looked at me and said, don't ask me for anything, son. I was 17 years old. She was 18 years old. We got married. She said, don't ask us for anything. Don't ask me for anything. I don't have it to give you. Her mom didn't have it to give us. We started out with nothing, but we started out trusting in the Lord and looking to him. And, you know, I didn't always live faithfully the way that I should before him, but praise God, he's always been faithful to me and he blessed me. And I learned that if I just learned to seek him and learned to put him first and foremost and learn to let him have the place that he deserves in my life, he would take care of everything else. Amen. The keys to living by faith are right here in this verse. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The first key that Jesus gives us here in this message that he's preaching is to get our priorities in order. Amen? What is most important? He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Amen? Once we get our priorities in order, everything else will fall in line. Amen. I don't care what you're doing. You get your priorities straight and everything else works out. You get your priorities straight in your relationships and your relationships work out. You get your priorities straight in your finances work out. You get your priorities straight in your schoolwork and your schoolwork works out. Amen. It don't matter what it is on the job, in the home, in the place where you're having fun, whether you enjoy hunting sports or motor sports or ball sports or whatever it is, whatever you're doing, if you get your priorities straight in that, it all works itself out. And the same thing is true in our Christian walk. Once we get our priorities straight, amen, it's much easier to function. It's much easier to come to the house of God and worship. It's much easier to deal with the problems that come our way. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. You know what happens when you find the kingdom? Well, everything falls in place. But you know what happens when you find the kingdom? You find the king. Amen. Amen. When you seek out the kingdom, you seek out the king. When you find out that the king is there, you realize that it was so much more than you ever imagined. Amen. When the kingdom of God, when you search out that kingdom, you find out it's much more than what you could ever have imagined. The king is there. You know, everybody, as we said this morning, everybody wants to go to heaven, but sadly, not everybody's going there. Amen. But if you seek the kingdom of God and you find the King, you find the reason that you want to be there. You find that it's more than the kingdom. We hear all these songs and we hear all these people talking about all kinds of things. Oh man, the poor old country boys say, "Oh, just build me a cabin in the corner of glory land." That ain't what God said we was going to have. He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." He didn't say anything about no cabins in glory land. Amen. The songwriter, the old country western song here not too long ago, wrote that song, "Lord, please tell me there'll be deer hunting in heaven, a little bit of fishing and some turkey hunting too." I got news for you. There ain't going to be no turkey hunting and deer hunting and fishing in heaven that I have found anywhere in the Word of God. We hear people talking about they're going to get there and they're just going to have a big old family reunion, and it's all about the family reunion. It's all about mama. It's all about daddy. It's all about sister. It's all about brother. It's all about a baby that is going on. But let me tell you this, when you get to the kingdom and you find out what the kingdom is all about, it's going to be all about Jesus. Amen. There ain't going to be anything else any more important than getting in the presence of the King. We need to get our priorities straight. We need to even get our priorities about heaven straight. Amen. What's heaven all about? About being with Jesus. About seeing the one that died for me. The one that shed his blood for me. The one that loved me so much. He was willing to leave heaven to come into this low land of sin and sorrow and be hung on an old rugged cross and shed his precious blood for a wretch like me. Amen. So seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. Man, when you're seeking the kingdom, you're going to find the King. Amen. And the thing of it is, when you find the King, you realize that there are some things that are going to change. Some things that are going to be different. Look, in James 4 and 7 it says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." You know, what you desire and what you seek and what you long for is what you draw closer to. Amen. Amen. Draw nigh to God, he'll draw closer to you. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. What's that mean? If we want to put God first and we want to make him foremost and we want to let him get as close to us and draw as close to us as we can, we got to make the effort to draw nigh to him. Amen. We got to let him in. We got to make him the priority. You know what fills our hearts and lives up the most? What we make the priority. Amen. If all the things in this world are more important than Jesus, they'll fill your heart up. They'll fill your life up. They'll fill your time up. Amen. They'll all become more important. Man, I got a million and one things to do. I got 10 million things I could be doing besides sitting here. Don't you? But you know what my priority is? Jesus. Amen. Seek you first. It's a priority. He don't want to be second place. He don't want to be the co-pilot. He don't want to be your partner in whatever it is you're doing. He wants to be first and foremost. He wants to be the King. Amen. He wants to sit on the throne of your heart. He wants to be the most important thing that is happening in your life. You know, when we come to the King, we find out that the King's the one that is in control when we want to do what the King wants us to do. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. When you get to the kingdom and you see the King, you want to serve the King. Amen. You want to be found where he wants you to be. You want to be doing what he wants you to do. Amen. Why? Because the King's the most important thing that there is in the kingdom. Amen. And if you're making the King happy, praise God, your life is going to be happy. Amen. Amen. If the King ain't happy, amen, then nobody going to be happy. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want the King to be happy. I want him first and foremost in my life so that he's happy. And you know, I know when the King ain't happy. Amen. How do I know when the King ain't happy? Because I lose my joy. I lose my peace. I lose my contentment. I lose all those things that I thought were going to bring me happiness and contentment that I may have prioritized before the king no longer satisfy. They can't satisfy because they don't have what it takes to satisfy. The only thing that can satisfy is doing what the king wants me to do.
Amen.
Amen. If I'm seeking first the kingdom and my priority is to serve the king, I'm going to have to serve the king according to his law, not my law, according to his dictates and not my dictates. Amen. That's why the word of God has to become so important for me to seek first the kingdom of God. Amen. Not only is it a roadmap to get to the kingdom, not only is it direction on how to serve him, but it's got prohibitions on displeasing him, how to honor him. You know, there are all kinds of regulations and rules and protocols that take place within our government. Whether you like the president or not, there are certain protocols that are supposed to be followed when the president is in your presence. Man, if you work for a big company and the president of the company comes by and is coming by, there's protocol that is used for the president of the company. I remember when I worked at Amtrak and we first bought the facility up here in Bear. It used to be a rail company, and Amtrak bought the building, bought the property and everything, and they were having a dedication service, and Senator Joe Biden was coming to do the opening ceremony, the official opening ceremonies for the Bear Complex up there. And man, they had us doing all kinds of things to get ready for the senator to come, because they were trying to follow protocol. They were trying to do what was pleasing unto the senator, to honor the senator. They do what's pleasing when the president shows up. When the president of Amtrak comes by, before he gets there, man, there's a little entourage that'll come by and they'll let you know that the president is on his way and make sure everything is tidy and looking clean and looking good. There's some protocol that has to take place. Let me tell you what, if you want to seek first the kingdom of God and you want to dwell in the presence of the king and you want to honor him with your life and you're going to make him the priority in your life, there are some protocols that have to be followed, and he has given them to us here in his word. Amen. Priority, priority, priority. Seek ye first. Jeremiah 29:13, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with your whole heart. You know what that says? That he has priority. Man, you're not searching for him. How many of you, when you pray, can pray without being interrupted in your mind? How many of you pray and nothing else slips and you're trying to pray, you're trying to get down to business, you're trying to be as earnest and sincere with God as you can, and nothing else slips in your mind? Good, I'm not alone. Amen. I'm not alone. But praise God, the devil might get in my mind. The devil might rattle my prayer life. But when I make Jesus Christ the priority of my heart, and I seek him with my whole heart, and I leave no room for nothing else to be interfering with that relationship, I don't make him second place. Well, I will serve you if, and I'll serve you when, I'll serve you how. We just take it in our heart and mind that he's the priority. He's number one. He comes before anything else, and anything else just fills in around him.
Amen.
Amen. Then we have set our priorities in order. We've been searching for him and we're seeking him with our whole heart. But listen, not only is priority, that's the first key, but the second key that Jesus gives us here, he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, number one. Number two, and his righteousness. His purity. We got priorities, then we got purity. Amen? Some people talk about all the things that they're trying to do to be good and all the things that they're trying to do to earn salvation or maybe all the things that they're trying to do to please God, and they're doing it in their own strength, in their own self, and according to their own right, what they think and feel is right and wrong and everything else. And Isaiah tells us that all our righteousness is in plural are as filthy rags. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness. His righteousness. You know what? I can't do anything to clean myself up spiritually. I have to turn it over to Him. I have to come to Him. You know, you ever see a little kid, little Tucker, run around here? He gets all gummed up and messed up and dirty. Who cleans him up? Somebody else. Amen. He just go on living like that. He don't know no better. Man, my grandson, my oldest grandson, Dennis, man, he couldn't stand anything on him from the time he was little. If he got, you put him in a high chair and he was eating and he got something on him, he'd be looking at somebody going like this. Come clean me up. Come clean me up. That was a signal. When them hands started going like this, it was come clean me up. I can't stand it. He couldn't do it himself, but he knew what he had to do. He had to let somebody know that he needed to be cleaned up. Jesus says here, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Amen. Now, you want to get yourself cleaned up, just turn yourself over to Him. You want to get yourself cleaned up, start seeking out His righteousness. Over in Titus chapter 2, Titus makes it plain and clear, or Titus 3, 5 and 7, 5 to 7, if you read through that, Titus said, it's not of our righteousness, but it's of His. Amen. Our righteousness can't do anything because our righteousness is only as filthy rags before God. I'm not good. I can never be good. I can never live good. I can never do good. And the only thing I got to claim that's good in me is Christ Jesus and His righteousness. Amen. Philippians 3 and 9, the Apostle Paul says that was his goal. That was his desire. What was not to live in his own righteousness, but to live in the righteousness of Christ. Look at what he said in Philippians 3, verse number 9. And he said, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith, through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. I want to tell you something. I don't want to meet Jesus and I don't want to stand before Him in my own righteousness. Amen. I can't face what's going to come before me from day to day in my own righteousness. I can't deal with the world. I can't deal with the problems that I'm going to face. I can't deal with the possibilities of what might happen standing in my own righteousness. But praise God, when I stand in the righteousness of Christ and I abide in the righteousness of Christ, I've sought out the blood. I've sought out the cleansing. I've sought out the forgiveness. I've sought out the salvation that comes in Christ. I can face anything that the world wants to throw against me. Amen. And all that hell wants to dump on me. Why? Because they can kill me. They can make my life miserable. But it can't take away what Jesus has done. Amen. Man, I could build great monuments. I could build great buildings and great things, and I can build the Dennis Gilbert Library, and I can build the Dennis Gilbert Soup Kitchen, and I can build the Dennis Gilbert this and the Dennis Gilbert that, and I can do all these things and put my name all over them, and you know what's going to happen to them? One day they're all going to decay. One day they're all going to fade away. But you know what never disappears, what never fades, is the righteousness of Christ. That's why Titus said, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. Amen. My works, My righteousness can only be of the law, only the things that I've done. Paul said, not by the works of the law, my righteousness which is of the law, but through the righteousness which is through Christ Jesus. The purity that we possess and the purity that we need to maintain in our spiritual life and in our spiritual walk isn't our good works and our good deeds. It's not our righteousness, but His righteousness, which is through Christ Jesus. You know, the only thing that I got to brag about, and the only thing I can brag about me, anything at all, is that I have Jesus as my Savior. That's the only thing really in this whole world. I mean, I have had children. I've got great children. I've got grandchildren. Ella, you know what old Buford Hash used to say? A man only creates one perfect thing in his lifetime. Grandkids. Amen. I've got kids, great kids. I've got grandkids. I've got great grandkids. Amen. And I love them all. And I can brag on them and I can brag in them. But I wouldn't have a single one of them had not God given to me. I've got a wonderful wife. Had a great life. We've had a great 45 years together. But I wouldn't have that if God hadn't given her to me. Man, I get to pastor a wonderful church. But it wouldn't mean nothing if God hadn't given it to me. I got great friends. Man, I love you all to death. Man, you all some of the greatest folks that I've ever known and could ever desire and ever want to be around. But I wouldn't have none of you if Christ hadn't given you to me. If Christ hadn't put you in my life. See, I don't have anything that I can brag of whatsoever save Jesus Christ. One day I asked Jesus into my heart. One day I asked Jesus into my life. And He forgave me of my sins. He cleansed me from all unrighteousness. And imparted His righteousness unto me. When I stand in judgment, the only thing that's in the book is His blood, His righteousness. Priorities, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Purity and His righteousness. 1 John 3:3 says that it should be our desire to be imparted with His image, that we might bear His image. That when the world looks at us, they could see Jesus. When the world looks at us, they see something to be desired, to be admired, to be had. That they see something that makes them thirst after righteousness. And the only way they can see that is if we let Jesus and His righteousness shine through in our lives. Amen. See, we got to allow ourselves to be second place. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first His righteousness. Amen. If we're seeking His kingdom, we're going to be seeking His righteousness. Amen. 1 John 3:3 says, and He's talking about how we know that we're going to be like Him when He appears. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. And we don't really fully comprehend just what that image is going to be. But when He gets here, in John 3:2, He says, we're going to be just like Him. And in John 3:3, He says, and every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself even as He is pure. Purity. 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 The priority is purity in our daily walk. If we're walking where He wants us to be, we're seeking after His righteousness, if we're making that the priority of our life, the potential of our faith becomes that much more real and relevant to our lives. And we desire to stand in it. And lastly, we see the promises. We have 66 books of God-breathed, God-inspired, God-delivered, God-preserved promises to those who will trust and believe in Him. Those who will surrender their lives. Those who will seek Him first with their whole heart. Those who will seek after His righteousness, that His righteousness might be imparted unto them. The promises that He will sustain us. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And listen to this promise. And all these things shall be added unto you. The Apostle Paul said, and my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Well, I'm glad He supplies my need. I've got a roof over my head. Amen. I got food on the table, shoes on my feet, clothes on my back. My land, those Amish folks that we bought that place off of, come back about a year after we'd got it done, and they come to visit, and they wanted to see what all we had done, and they wanted to go through the barns and look at the house. And the girl that used to live in the house, she walked in, we'd done redone it, she walked in and she says, wow, it's beautiful. And they wanted to go upstairs, and I wasn't there. My wife just let them run in. There's about 30 of them jumped out of a 15-passenger van. They come out of everywhere, went every which way. The men all headed to the barns, was looking to what we'd done in the barns, what we'd been doing up there, what I got going on. The women all come to the house, and they went upstairs, and they looked in the one bedroom. We didn't even have a closet big enough. I just built two racks up on the wall because we just used it as a spare room. And I got closet racks just hanging on the walls like a big walk-in closet. And there was probably 40, 50 suits hanging there. I got tie racks. I got two tie racks that spin around automatic, and each one of them holds 70-some ties. And, man, there's ties all over the place. And then there's two big old closets over here, and in the other bedroom, a big old closets all the way down one side, and they just filled with clothes. And my wife was sitting downstairs, and she could hear them say, why so many clothes? Well, I had skinny clothes, medium clothes, fat clothes, you know. You don't get rid of them, you know. You're hoping. Amen. You might take that journey back again. Amen. You know, understand the Amish only have two sets of clothes. They got the set on their back and the set that's on the line. That's all they say. They don't have closets in the house. The house we bought didn't have a closet one in it. They have pegs and they just hang the stuff up on the pegs. Why so many clothes? Because I've been really, really blessed. Amen. Why so many things? Man, you come and run through my barns. I got more junk than the law allows. I've been blessed. Man, you pull in my driveway. Oh my gosh, I forgot about something. Hopefully he found your keys. My son needed to borrow a truck tonight. Their freezer went out, and they wanted to get a freezer real quick before all the stuff in the freezer went bad. But I'm sure he found your keys. I hope he found your keys. Or not, he's going to be going to the store late to buy a freezer. Hey, man, but you pull in the driveway. I've got a car, I've got a truck. Why? I've been blessed. Amen. I never had to worry about going to work. You know what? When we didn't have nothing, God always supplied our needs. God always paid our bills. We have never not been able to pay our bills. We have never had to deal with the problems. Now, I'm going to go back and say it again. Some people say, I have people come to me, well, you're just saying I'm not as good a Christian as you because of that. All I'm saying is I was a steward of what God had given me. We didn't waste money. My wife didn't buy food that you just unpack and throw it in the oven or throw it in the microwave. We didn't have microwaves back then when we was young. But she didn't buy the mixes. She bought the raw flour, the stuff, because it was cheaper. It took more effort. It took more work, but it was cheaper. And it might have only been a few cents, but a few cents makes dollars. Amen. God has always supplied my every need. I've never done without. He always gave me a job. Wasn't always the job I wanted, but it was the job I needed at the time. Amen. When I got out of the Navy and come back here, you couldn't buy a minimum wage job in Cecil County. If there's a minimum wage job opening, there were three or four people already standing in line waiting for it. But God always made sure I had a job. If I didn't have a job to go to, I always had work. I would work on vehicles, work on trucks, work on equipment right there in my driveway. God always supplied a way. God always supplied the need. I've never went without. And I don't apologize for saying that. Now, I've heard people, I've listened to them talk, well, you know, we couldn't pay our electric bill. I remember the time they shut our electric off. And then you listen to them, you go and listen to them talk long enough, you can tell they weren't good stewards of what God had given them. Amen? What I'm saying is this. God has never shortchanged me. God has never shortchanged any individual. God said he would always supply your needs. All these things, what? The needs that they have, where they're going to sleep, what they're going to eat, what they're going to wear. All these things shall be added unto you. God will keep his promise. God has always kept his promise. And if you ever come up on the short end of the promise, it was because you didn't keep your part. You didn't do what was required of you. All the temporal things have been taken care of. Most importantly, all the spiritual things have been taken care of. Amen. I was condemned by sin. Amen. He paid my condemnation. I was bound by sin. He set me free from the shackles of sin. I was under the curse of sin. And he became a curse for us. He became sin for us who knew no sin. That the righteousness of Christ might dwell in me. He paid the ransom. He paid the debt. He paid everything that was required for me to be able to be a partaker of all the promises of God's word. Romans 10:13 says, whosoever will, I become a partaker. I become a part of the promise. Romans 8:28. For we know that all things work to good for those that love the Lord, to those who are called according to his purpose. I'm a partaker of the promise. I became an heir. And a joint heir with Jesus. An heir to all that glory entails. Romans 8:16-17. I don't have any more that I can boast in. Any more that I can brag in. Any more that I can share in. That could do any more for me than what Jesus has done. Any more than what God has provided. Priority number one. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Priority number two. Seek ye first his righteousness. Because the Bible has that little conjunction and there. So it's a number one priority. Seeking the kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things. Seeking his promises. to be fulfilled. People say, well, I don't know. I just lost my faith. This happened, that happened. I don't know. Somewhere along the line, I just lost my faith. I just lost the desire. I just lost the will. Because you got things out of line. You didn't put first things first. Put the Lord first in your life. And everything else falls right in order. Priority, priority, priority. Purity, purity, purity. The promise, the promise, the promise will never fail. Stand to our feet tonight.